All praises to the Most High Yahweh, creator of all things, worthy of all praise, glory, and honor forevermore. Also acknowledging his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Yahawashah HaMashiach, also known as Yahusha, Yeshua, and Jesus. Also giving acknowledgement to the Ruach HaKodesh, which is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, leading and guiding in all truth and righteousness, bringing all things to remembrance. I say good morning to you, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Talking Prophecy. Let's dive right in. Christian. The word Christian appears three times in Scripture, all in the New Testament, according to Google. The first time, it says that they were first called Christians in Antioch. This is Acts 11, verse 26. The second reference was King Agrippa, where he said he was almost persuaded by Paul to become a Christian. All of these will be posted so you can read for yourself. That was Acts 26, 27, 28. And the third reference was 1 Peter 4, 14 through 16, where he was defining what a true Christian would be. Then how that if you were suffering as a murderer or a thief or evildoer or a busybody, this is not what Christian would represent a Christian. So it's mentioned three times in the New Testament, and there's no mention in end time prophecy of Christian. If I was someone calling myself a Christian, that would send up some red flags for me, because nowhere in end time prophecy is that mentioned. Yet I hear a lot of people always saying Christian this, Christian that, but the scripture didn't call it that. So I think maybe it would be wise to step back and actually, whatever the scripture is calling it, we keep that name the same, and we don't blend other names into it where they do not belong. But we'll continue. The person you now see on the screen, according to Google, his name is Gaian Giorgio Tresino. This person is accredited with creating the letter J. This happened sometime around 1524, according to Google, but I'll let you read for yourself to determine if it's true or not. For me, it's all logged in history, so I do believe this to be true. The time that this happened, you can see clearly that the Messiah had already walked the earth and is already now seated at the right hand of the Father. So I only pointed this out to show you that Jesus was not his name as he was walking the earth. I mean, I know we love the name. I was filled with the Ruach HaKodesh calling on that name, because the Most High judges the heart. If he can look down and see that you're sincere, regardless of what you believe to be the truth, he sees the sincerity of your heart toward him. He'll save you. But you also have to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is, no matter how it hurts, it's in your benefit to recognize truth. I'm bringing these things to your attention to make you realize that not everything that we've been taught is true. There are a lot of things that we have accepted to be true that's false. And so we have to open up our mind and allow ourselves to hear all evidence, to hear all sides, and then make a sound judgment and a decision on what's true and what's false. Okay, with that being said, I'll now go to the subject of most Christians understand that we used to be under the law, but it switched from law to grace through the gospel. When Yahawashah said everyone needed to be born again, it changed from how they used to do it into something else. Now you must repent, be water baptized, and be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, which is the Holy Ghost. So most people who call themselves Christians, they understand this point. But what most people, Christian, Hebrew, or whoever, don't understand is that this current system that we're under right now also has an ending. And they fail to recognize where that ending point is. Apostle Paul, who was selected to graft in the Gentiles who were without the Most High, but through Israel's fall, were given an opportunity to be taken from a wild olive tree and connected to the true vine. And so Paul grafted those Gentiles in, and he didn't deem them to be Christians. He said, those who are truly born again through the Spirit are now fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of the Most High. This is how he viewed the Gentiles that were born again, not as Christians, but as fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of the Most High. He also told the Gentiles not to be high-minded, that there would come a day when all Israel shall be saved. I know a lot of people believe in 1948, but we're going to break this deception down right now. This is how we're going to be able to tell where the system that we're in now will come to an end, and there will be a new covenant. We'll start with Jeremiah 31, verses 33 through 34. And this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their Most High, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. That's Jeremiah the prophet. And Apostle Paul, who grafted the Gentiles in, pulled from Jeremiah and said this in the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, the Most High, and they shall be to me a people, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. So now we see stipulations for when the times will change. Right now, I've listened to the person who brings the note, Paul and Adrian. I don't know much about them. I was turned on to their channel, and as I listened and I saw how he brought forth the news, I was very impressed. And one of the main things that impressed me were the altar calls that they give, because they are important. This gives people an opportunity to be saved or to consider or to seek after the Most High. So that's what we are supposed to be doing in this time. But it's also a very telling factor, because the scriptures say when we come out of what we're under right now and go into a new covenant, this will no longer be required. There will be no more witnessing. See, this is how you know deception is 1948. Because if 1948 was Second Exodus, there would be no more witnessing. We would all know the Most High, from the smallest to the greatest. But because that is deception, and that Second Exodus has not occurred, we still witness. I hope you can understand what I just said to you. It's a very important point, and it's pure truth. So that now that our focus is on the day that we will all know the Most High, this is a day that he's coming back for the natural branches to clean us off, to take us back into our land. He's also coming back for the fellow citizens to take you from this land and put you back into the land of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's also coming for those that will cleave to Israel, the strangers that will become men servants and handmaids. All of these people are called by the name of the Most High. When he comes back and he gathers Israel, all of these people are coming from their lands and going back into the land of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they're going back and they're going to be clean, all of them. The scriptures say in Joel, he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh, even upon the men servants and handmaids during that day. So this is where we see a completely holy nation coming about. This is how the scriptures write themselves. We don't have to make up a story. If you're on the right track, the scriptures will continually unfold to you. I just told you this will be a completely holy nation. This has never happened in the history of the world where everyone has been filled with the Ruach HaKodesh going back into the lands. Everyone. This is the making of the 10 virgins. This is where that fits. Because everyone is clean. Everybody is holy going back into the land. Now, it also signifies the last 7 years of the age. This is where the separation occurs. Those people that I just named to you, the natural branches, the bloodline descendants, the fellow citizens, those that were grafted in, and the stranger that will become the men servants and handmaids, all will go back into the land, holy, clean, and it will signify the beginning of the last 7 years of the age. Depending on how you live your life from that point, will you keep oil in your vessel or will your lamp go out? This is going to be the decision for those that are called by the Most High's name going back into the land. Immediately, the rest of the world will enter into tribulation. These people get called out and they go to a protected land, the lands of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, protected. There's food there. There's drink there. There's peace there. The rest of the world will immediately enter into tribulation. That's why in Revelation 12, it tells you the woman has a place prepared for 1260 days. That's the first 3.5 years. That place is secure. They will be there protected. That's why it tells you in Joel that they will see signs and wonders with the pillars of smoke and these things happening as the blood, the fire, the pillars of smoke. The rest of the world is in chaos. Millions are dying, possibly billions. But Israel is in that protected place for those 1260 days. And the rest of the world is in tribulation for those 1260 days. After the 1260 days are finished, now there will be no protected place on the planet Earth. The devil is cast down with his fallen angels. And if you miss the marriage supper, remember, the wise virgins go somewhere. They go in with the bridegroom to the marriage. That's the marriage supper of the Lamb. The foolish whose lights have gone out, they are purged. Remember, he said, I will purge out the rebels. These are the ones whose light went out. They're going to have to go through the winter flight of great tribulation. And this is a little bit off topic because I have some other things to get to. So give me a second and let me gather. Okay, so the main point I wanted to keep in focus is that we realize 1948 is deception because we are still witnessing and giving altar calls and trying to get people to know the Most High, know the Lord, become born again. We're still in that process because we are still under those rules. But when second Exodus occurs, there will be no more need to witness to each other because everyone shall know the Most High or the Lord. Okay, Second point, I want to shift to Matthew 24, verses 3 and 34. And it reads, Matthew 24 and 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? There are three questions there. When shall these things be? The sign of his coming, which is the marriage supper, and of the end of the world. Those are the three questions that the disciples who became the apostles asked the Savior. And at verse 34, he said this, Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Three questions. And he said, the generation would not pass until all of these things, end time prophecies, be fulfilled. When it's going to happen, the sign of his coming, and the sign of the end of the world. And he said, the generation would not pass until all these things be fulfilled. So, according to Google, it says, as a matter of common knowledge, we know that a generation averages about 25 years from the birth of a parent to the birth of a child, although it varies case by case. So, average 25 years is a generation. It says this about three generations. Generally, three or four generations span 100 years. But depending on a number of factors, that same amount of time could produce as little as two generations or as many as five generations. The average span between one generation and the next generation is 25 to 30 years. The safe answer would be 75 to 90 years would equal three generations. 75 to 90 years would equal three generations. Life expectancy, according to Google. Over the last few decades, life expectancy has increased dramatically around the globe. The average person born in 1960, the earliest year the United States began keeping global data, could expect to live 52.5 years of age. Today, the average is 72. This was done October 2018. So they're saying in 2018, life expectancy is 72. Back in the 60s, it was 52.5. This generation shall not pass. Let me see something. It's 2022. If you were a newborn baby in 1948, you would be 74 years old. Life expectancy in 2018 was 72. So you're 2 years over life expectancy. A generation is 25 years. But this is almost 75 years, which would mean you're two generations have passed since 1948. But the scripture says that generation would not pass unless it seen the end of the world, the coming of the Messiah, or all of these things had happened before the generation passed. 1948 doesn't fit this. It's already dead. It's past and it's going on three generations. So you can obviously see that this does not line up with scripture. Now, like I said before, second Exodus is on the horizon. And when that happens, you can clearly see that everything lines up to be in sync with what the Messiah said. So I want you to take that. So since 1948, have you seen the end of the world? Have you seen World War III since 1948? 74 years. And you have not seen any of those things come to pass. And yet you believe that that was Second Exodus. Are you beginning to see the deception, the false flag events? They've been doing false flag events for a very, very, very long time. It didn't just start this decade. It travels way back. And it was working before because we were in our curses. We were supposed to be deceived because we weren't living right for the Most High, and they were in their time to be in authority. But now that it's coming to its very end, everything is unwinding and showing you truth. Oh yeah, the one other point I wanted to bring out with the 1948 is the scriptures speak about a new covenant. In 1948, was there a new covenant developed, came into pass? Those people still do not even believe in the Messiah. How could they be the generation of Second Exodus where everyone would know who the Messiah is? Food for thought. And lastly, just as I told you before, with the birth of a nation, and I was talking to the preppers, and I know I'm not bashing preppers and those that are protecting themselves for what may come up. You know, I'm not against that. But there are certain people who are in positions where they're just trying to live day to day. That's all they can do is try and survive daily. And I want them to know the Most High hasn't forgotten about you. He has you on his mind. And that's why it's written that before the pain comes, the nation will be born. You have to let that set in your spirit before that pain comes, that hard pain comes. The nation will be born. The children will be coming forth. So before hunger, before famine, before World War III, before any of these events, the Most High is going to bring out his children. That's the same thing he told the people in Mystery Babylon. Come out that you receive not of her plagues. Was her plagues death, mourning, and famine? And we were instructed to come out before that. So keep that in your heart. But not only that, it's also used for another teardown of deception. I say before the pain came, that's how this nation will be born. 1948, 6 million died before the birth of a nation. Does that match what the scripture said? Before the pain, but they had genocide before they were brought back to the land. Whose report shall you believe? It's all plainly out there for you now to consider. There's no other excuse. We'll stop it right here. All praises to the Most High Yahweh, his only begotten son, Yahweh Shai, and the Ruach HaKodesh. I love you, brothers and sisters. Let's strive to keep going strong for the Most High. Till we meet again, Selah.